Well, we're continuing with this with our the important day that was had today, which was the 40-year milestone of the Whakaoranga hui that was held on the 19th of March, 1984. It is now the 19th of March, 2024, and I'm so sorry. And so the 40-year milestone was today. And so one of our biggest providers in Auckland is the Waipareira Trust, and I'm delighted this evening to talk to the chair, Ray Hall. Excuse me, and Ray can say something while I'm just going to clear my throat. Kia ora, Ray. Welcome to Radio Wātea this evening.
Oh, kia ora, Maripika. Tātou katoa, tēnā tātou. Yeah, look, today was quite an outstanding hui for those who were able to attend, just to reflect on, like you said, Maripika, the last 40 years of Māori health and the original hui that you mentioned in 1984, which really became the authoritative body that shaped the direction which Māori health should head going forward. So it was an outstanding turnout today, and it's always a pleasure and honour to listen to Tara Mason share his insights and reflect on what those last 40 years looked like heading forward, and then also set the agenda for the next 40 years going forward through research, so on and so forth.
Well, Ray, when you looked at all of those, the chronology of the timeline over the last 40 years, and there were some significant hui actually held in 1984. There was the Economic Summit, the Hui Taumata that was held, and the Māori Women's Welfare League held a significant hui as well, in terms of the whānau, and so that was, and then there was the education hui as well, plus of course the hui whakaoranga. So there was some. I mean, that seems to be like it was like a watershed year. Something must have been in the air or in the water that all of these significant hui were held to try and set the vision of what we could be in the next 40 or 50 years. And here we are, already 40 years down the track.
Yeah, that's right. I think one of the beauties about the 1984 hui was, if we just take it back 4 years, Hoani Waititi Marae was actually opened in 1980, April, I think it was. So, off the back of an urban purpose marae, big huis like this started to emerge, which really started to, set the policies going forward around what some of the Māori health concerns were back then. But not only that, it also, I think today's hui also gave insights to some of the early insights and to some of the social determinants of health that you hear a lot of us talking about now in the various roles that we play across, across Tāmaki, and the nation.
Well, it wouldn't have been, because, the Māori health providers, our providers, before the Whānau Order Commissioning Act, or before Te Pau Matakana, they were just starting to emerge then, weren't they? In the middle 1980s, they were just, that was their emergence, they were starting to come through, and of course now, not only the Whānau Order providers, our provider partners, of which the Waipareira Trust is probably the most significant out west. That would be true.
Yeah, well, if you look at the early beginnings of Te Whānau Waipareira, as you know, we've been providing services out west since then, but also the Manukau Urban Māori Authority as well out at in South Auckland there. They started to emerge and started to look at some of the unmet needs that were happening within our communities. And like I said, good health determinants is generally determined by the social determinants within your community. And, a lot of our people, were suffering poharatanga back then. Just the whole conversational narrative that was being created back then really set the scene for the emergence of, the Whānau Order Commissioning Agency, the Māori Health Authority, which has since been removed. Notwithstanding, it's still these new initiatives, you know, can trace their whakapapa or their origin back to the initial hui back in 1984.
Well, that's right. And I was sitting there today, and I was looking at so many of those people. Of course, most of them are long gone now.
Mm.
And I was thinking about various members of Parliament, particularly in just recently, I might add, recently as the weekend, and I wondered if they should perhaps, they would benefit from sitting and listening to a presentation such as what we heard today. Because all of those people who had mana, they were rangatira in their own right, in their own areas, and from their own, when I say their own areas of mahi, they were rangatira from their own hapu and iwi, and they never saw the deficits in their whānau. They always believed that, you know, whānau would excel, and indeed whānau should excel. So, and that's when I hear, Māori, and I have to say it, Māori politicians pretty much putting the boot in to Māori, and I feel, where the hell have they been? Do they not know that the calibre of Māori leadership that was working in the last 40 to 50 years to ensure that Māori had a better place in education, in health, in all of those areas, in housing, in all of those areas where even 40 years ago we were lagging way behind?
Yeah, I think you're right when you talk about some of the earlier interventions, I suppose, that were happening in our communities, because as you rightly referenced, that leadership group who were strongly based in their communities across Aotearoa, you know, you're right, they did work off a strengths-based model, which is what whānau water is all about, you know, building resilience within the capacity and capabilities of what you've got in your household, and building that going forward. Certainly the whakawāranga hui, it's progressed, you know, it's the narrative has progressed over those years, like you've said, and from the 80s to the 90s to the 2000s, 2010s, in these 10-year time slots, that foundational hui has set the, you know, set the pathway for where we've landed or arrived today. And with the current politician, you know, Tomo Fōtaka, for instance, you know, he was meant to come on today. I think he's got a well-grounded sense of responsibility in these areas as well. If you have a look at his pathway and some of the commentary that he's making and his journey towards where he's landed now, I certainly support some of the initiatives that we hear today at this hui.
Well, I know I do believe that he has he understands where many of our whānau are, and would like to in his position, because he is the Minister of Whānau Order, and I think he's the Associate Minister in areas, other areas, social issues area. So and his background gives him good insight and understanding of how some whānau right now are not doing at all well. And so there'll be lots of mahi to be done there. So as a provider of significant services out west, Ray, as the chair of the Waipareira Trust, how do you see perhaps the taumata working, and how do you see the future? Perhaps I won't go as far as the next 20, 40 years, but certainly in the next 20 years.
Mm. Yeah, that was a good discussion. That was a good piece that Tā Mason, you know, rolled out today on the marae. Look, the taumata has its place, and it certainly has its value across health and other sectors. And as you know, we've sat on taumata advisory boards before. But I think the most important thing about that is that, you know, we set the agenda on those taumatas, so that we're not just there servicing, you know, the ministry or the group that's brought you in as a taumata, but certainly the Taumata has definitely has a place to play, because you're coming from a tikanga Māori worldview, where holistic health and those types of things are important to our communities, and that's what really resonates with the Māori communities, is that you're coming from a place that represents our backgrounds, our Māori backgrounds.
And I think, Ray, we're not blind to the fact that there are some of our whānau that could once in a while do with a pretty good shaker. And I'm referring to, we've just heard in the last 24 hours that Kāinga Ora will be looking very carefully at whānau who are living in Kāinga Ora homes, and the complaints that they receive. And, it looks as if they're going to come down hard on them. And I must say, I believe that everybody should be able to live in their homes. Their neighbours should be able to live in their homes without having their peace and quiet destroyed by the behaviour of some families. And they're certainly in the minority. There are thousands of families that live in Kāinga Ora homes up and down the country. But there are obviously a minority and a number, a small number, that makes life miserable for their neighbours, not only the neighbours who are not whānau, who are not living in other Kāinga Ora homes, but other neighbours who live in their private ownership residences. So, but we have to acknowledge that there are some whānau that may need, I was going to say, a swift kick up the bum. Well, of course, we don't want to do that, because if you do that, there are children involved in those homes, but we have to be able to reach them and get to them early. So it's never, because behaviour is usually the result of something that is going wrong and awry in that whānau. And unfortunately, many of the complaints that the Kāinga Ora organisation receives, that behaviour has been happening for 3, 4, if not longer years. And so why aren't they getting in early to say, hang on a moment, what's going on here? Because this is not the sort of behaviour that we're going to tolerate. So, we're not blind. And certainly, I suspect the whānau order providers out there at the front line, they're not blind to the fact that some of our whānau need to be spoken to, and on the rather sharply. But at the end of the day, usually you can link it back to how they've fared in the past, that, no support available, just plonked in a house. And look, I could just give you an example. Over the weekend, on Sunday, I was rung. Somebody was moving into a house this Monday, just gone, and they had nothing. They had nothing, Ray. So no. They rang me to say, do I have anything? Well, I do have a friend who's got plenty of beds and everything, so we can outfit the house. But, you can't just put people in a house and say, well, there you go, you've got a nice home, and then they're going to sleep on the floor, and before you know where they are, they're not showing perhaps the care and consideration for a nice home that we would expect, because they've been dumped in there, and they've got nothing to make it livable.
Yeah, that's true, but I think if we go back to the beginning of this little conversation, Maripika, we've got to look at social housing's now shifted away from, the quarter acre section now, and it's, now built into multi-complex units. So the same issues that we were experiencing out in the communities is now intensified in one building where you've got 120 units. And this behaviour that everyone's talking about playing out on the porch now or in the corridors of those units. So you could get a sense of how... how problematic that can be, but we built 120 units up on 1550 Great North Road, and one of the opportunities that we wanted to bring forward there was a communal leadership group that was representative of those units, that you could hui once a week or once a month, just to just to work out what are some of the issues that we're facing in our little community here, because these are the new communities. And then, there's a possibility of working your way through it. But certainly the Kaiaruhi now in the whānau water space As you know, they're going to be very busy in those areas now because pōhonatanga is a big issue out there. There is a cost of living crisis. And as you know, that's all driven by wages and salaries. And most of our whānau living in these units are beneficiaries. So, we have to seriously look at how we'll go about meeting their needs as well, which puts a lot of puts a lot of pressure on our frontline staff and people like yourself in the whānau water space or our space that we're in. And we've always got to be innovative and look for ways on how we can ameliorate or remediate some of those issues that are happening in there. But again, it all comes back to some of the social determinants that our communities, particularly our Māori communities, are in at the moment.
And very true too. And those 120 units or those 240 units, they are so small and they are small. They're cheek to jowl and very little in the way of open spaces outside for the children. And so you're so right. It's condensed. It's condensed living, even though they've got their own little areas and everything in terms of units. It's condensed living that most of us at my age, I suspect at your age, we didn't, even though we didn't have perhaps a quarter acre section, we did have a smaller section where you could go outside and you could, you had a bike shed that you could put stuff away in and all of that sort of stuff, and you could play hopscotch and things like that. I think some of those things now, it's just, sit down, don't say much, use your tablet, watch television, mainly, well, I've got all of their devices these days, and, don't disturb anybody.
That's right, and as you know, everyone had a little bit of a veggie garden down the back, marakai, things like that. You just don't have those opportunities now, living in the type of social housing that's been rolled out. So,
well,
you've
of course,
in,
No, you're quite right. We've just got to work through that. And support our families. And so the next 40 years, I was speaking with Hector Kaiwai, the director of Wairanga Hub, and he was talking about the research that's going to be done and, of course, about the taumata and hopefully the telling of our stories will underpin some of the actions that we need to be looking at and strategy development and policies as well, obviously, and services that need to be provided over the next 40 years. So I guess we could say that we're not going anywhere, and the whānau water providers are going to be here to ensure that actually our whānau will remain at the centre of everything that is currently done for them.
Yeah, I think forums like the Hokoranga Hui going forward will set the agenda going forward around influencing policy or shaping policy going forward. The Whānau Water Commissioning Agency is a great example of a policy that can influence change in some of the broader socioeconomic factors that influence better health outcomes for our communities going forward. But it was interesting, some of the insights that Mason gave today. It wasn't about diabetes, high blood pressure, or cardiovascular disease then. I think they had some insights towards where Māori health was heading, and there was going to have to be a robust discussion around, even now, how we address some of the inequities that exist within our health system. That's a priority, and that should always remain a priority going forward. But I think the whole lift in the life expectancy of Māori is a priority as well. We want to live, longer and stronger for as long as we can going forward. So, I'm looking forward to that research, Hector's research, and, some of the findings that fall out of it.
Exactly. And I'm sure it'll make for interesting reading, and we'll all be able to have some input into it too. Look, Ray, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure when I'm there at Hone Waititi Marae, and whenever I see the Waipareira team out and about in the community, they are so dedicated to their mahi. They're always upbeat and certainly doing the best that they can. And it's just a delight, to know that they have the interest of whānau at heart and it shows. It shows in how they go about their work. So thank you to you, your team, as obviously as to you, your CEO and your team for the great mahi you do out west. Kia ora, Ray. Thank you for joining us on Radio Wātea this evening.
Kawai. Thank you, Meripeka.
Thank you. Well, it's been a great kōrero this evening with Hector. And we've been talking about the 40-year milestone that was, in fact, today, 40 years, 1984, March, 19th of March, 1984, to the 19th of March, 2024. And it was the Hui Whakaoranga lecture given today by Professor Sir Mason Dury, and how far we have come in terms of Māori health. But believe me, we have certainly got some way to go as well. So a bit of an outline. You can't go forward unless from time to time you look backwards. And that was an opportunity for us today. And Sir Mason has definitely put up some challenges for us, those who work in this space. But, you know, we're up for that as well. So it's been a great evening with you this evening. And I'm going to be back next week. Merepeka raukawa teit. For now, mātiwā, kia ora.